Chapter 51. Kindly time but withdrawn the foregoing event 3 days from the present of Baptista Hedigan. It was 10 o'clock in the morning. She had been ill, not in an ordinary or definite sense, but in a state of cold stupefaction, from which it was difficult to arouse her, so much as to say a few sentences. When questioned as he had replied, that she was pretty well. Their trip, as such, had been something of a failure. They had gone on as far as Falmouth, but here he had given way to her entreaties to return home. This they could not very well do without repassing through Pen Zephyr, at which place they had now again arrived. In the train as he had seen a weekly local paper, and read there a paragraph detailing the inquest on Charles. It was added, that the funeral was to take place at his native town of Redruton on Friday. After reading this as he had shown no reluctance, to enter the fatal neighborhood of the tragedy, only stipulating that they should take their rest at a different lodging from the first, and now comparatively braced up and calm, indeed a cooler creature altogether, than when last in the town, she said to David, that she wanted to walk out for a while, as they had plenty of time on their hands. To a shop as usual, I suppose, me dear? Partly for shopping, she said. And it will be best for you, dear, to stay in, after trotting about so much, and have a good rest, while I am gone. He assented. And Baptista sallied forth. As he had stated, her first visit was made to a shop, a draper's. Without the exercise of much choice she purchased a black bonnet and veil, also a black stuff gown, a black mantle she already wore. These articles were made up into a parcel which, in spite of the saleswoman's offers, her customer said she would take with her. Bearing it on her arm she turned to the railway, and at the station, got a ticket for Redruton. Thus it appeared that, on her recovery from the paralyzed mood of the former day, while as he had resolved not to blast utterly the happiness of her present husband, by revealing the history of the departed one, as he had also determined to indulge a certain odd, inconsequent, feminine sentiment of decency, to the small extent to which it could do no harm to any person. At Redruton she emerged from the railway carriage in the black attire purchased at the shop, having during the transit made the change in the empty compartment as he had chosen. The other clothes were now in the bandbox and parcel. Leaving these at the cloakroom she proceeded onward, and after a wary survey reached the side of a hill, whence a view of the burial ground could be obtained. It was now a little before 2 o'clock. While Baptista waited, a funeral procession ascended the road. Baptista hastened across, and by the time the procession entered the cemetery gates as he had unobtrusively joined it. In addition to the schoolmaster's own relatives, not a few, the paragraph in the newspapers of his death by drowning had drawn together many neighbors, acquaintances, and onlookers. Among them she passed unnoticed, and with a quiet step, pursued the winding path to the chapel, and afterwards thence to the grave. When all was over, and the relatives and idlers had withdrawn, she stepped to the edge of the chasm. From beneath her mantle she drew a little bunch of forget-me-nots, and dropped them in upon the coffin. In a few minutes she also turned and went away from the cemetery. By 5 o'clock she was again in Pen Zephyr. "You have been a mortal long time," said her husband, crossly. "I allowed you an hour at most, me dear." "It occupied me longer," said she. "Well, I reckon it is wasting words to complain. Hang it, ye look so tired, and wish that I can't find heart to say what I would. I am weary and wished, David, I am. We can get home tomorrow for certain, I hope. We can. And please God we will," said Mr. Hedigan heartily, as if he too were weary of his brief honeymoon. "I must be into business again on Monday morning at latest. They left by the next morning steamer, and in the afternoon took up their residence in their own house at Giant's Town. The hour that she reached the island, it was as if a material weight had been removed from Baptista's shoulders. Her husband attributed the change to the influence of the local breezes after the hot house atmosphere of the mainland. However that might be, settled here, a few doors from her mother's dwelling, she recovered in no very long time much of her customary bearing, which was never very demonstrative. She accepted her position calmly, and faintly smiled when her neighbors learned to call her Mrs. Hedigan, and said she seemed likely to become the leader of fashion in Giant's Town. Her husband was a man who had made considerably more money by trade than her father had done. And perhaps the greater profusion of surroundings at her command than as he had heretofore been mistress of, was not without an effect upon her. 1 week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks passed, and, being preeminently a young woman who allowed things to drift, she did nothing whatever either to disclose or conceal traces of her first marriage, or to learn, if there existed possibilities which there undoubtedly did by which that hasty contract might become revealed to those about her at any unexpected moment. While yet within the first month of her marriage, and on an evening just before sunset, Baptista was standing within her garden adjoining the house, when she saw passing along the road a personage clad in a greasy black coat and battered tall hat, which, common enough in the slums of a city, had an odd appearance in St. Maria's. The tramp, as he seemed to be, marked her at once bonnetless, and unwrapped as she was her features were plainly recognizable, and with an air of friendly surprise, came and leant over the wall. "What? Don't you know me?" said he. As he had some dim recollection of his face, but said that she was not acquainted with him. "Why, your witness to be sure, ma'am. Don't you mind the man that was mending the church window when you and your intended husband walked up to be made one, and the clerk called me down from the ladder, and I came and did my part by writing my name and occupation?" Baptista glanced quickly around. Her husband was out of earshot. That would have been of less importance, but for the fact that the wedding witnessed by this personage had not been the wedding with Mr. Hedigan, but the one on the day previous. "I've had a misfortune since then, that's pulled me under," continued her friend. "But don't let me damp your wedded joy by naming the particulars. Yes, I've seen changes since. Though 'tis but a short time ago, let me see, only a month next week, I think, for 'twere the first or second day in August." "Yes, that's when it was," said another man, a sailor, who had come up with a pipe in his mouth, and felt it necessary to join in,
Baptista having receded to escape further speech.
"For that was the first time I set foot in Giant's Town, and her husband took her to him the same day." A dialogue then proceeded between the two men outside the wall, which Baptista could not help hearing. "A, I signed the book that made her one flesh," repeated the decayed glazier. "Where's her goodman?" "About the premises somewhere. But you don't see 'em together much," replied the sailor in an undertone. "You see, he's older than she."
"Older?
I should never have thought it from my own observation," said the glazier. "He was a remarkably handsome man."
"Handsome?
Well, there he is, we can see for ourselves." David Hedigan had, indeed, just shown himself at the upper end of the garden, and the glazier, looking in bewilderment from the husband to the wife, saw the latter turn pale. Now that decayed glazier was a far-seeing, and cunning man too far-seeing, and cunning to allow himself to thrive by simple and straightforward means, and he held his peace, till he could read more plainly the meaning of this riddle, merely adding carelessly, "Well, marriage do alter a man, 'tis true. I should never ha' knowed him.
Apostrophe, he then stared oddly at the disconcerted Baptista, and moving on to where he could again address her, asked her to do him a good turn, since he once had done the same for her. Understanding that he meant money, she handed him some, at which he thanked her, and instantly went away. Gutenberg edition. End of chapter.